Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Matthew chapter 18. At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." This is the text. Throughout July and August, our gospel readings were from Matthew chapters 13 through 16. And it was nice to go through that whole section because it's really one big unit. And we didn't really skip over too much. Matthew has a style of writing where he organizes the events of Christ's life in such a way that the various sections of the book have a front end and a back end which mirror each other, and at the center is the main point at which he's focusing. It's a common style of writing in the ancient world called a chiasm, named for the Greek letter chi, which looks like an X. In fact, if you look at the front of the altar, there's a chi right there. You see the chi rho symbol. What looks like the P is actually the Greek R, the letter rho. And in Greek, chi rho are the first two letters in Christos, Christ, hence the symbol. Well, within today's gospel reading, Matthew begins a new chiasm with the disciples having a debate about who is the greatest. And this section of Matthew goes all the way through the end of chapter 20. And it will end up with the mother of James and John asking Jesus to allow her sons, one to sit on his right and one on his left, when he comes into his kingdom. She wants her sons to be placed and have places of greatness above everyone else, because this is what is perceived as greatness. Everything that goes on in between can be seen as a larger discussion about what true greatness is in the kingdom of God. And in this section of Matthew, repentance and forgiveness are major themes. And at the center of this, where the X meets in this literary device, in the chiasm, we find parents bringing their young children to Jesus to be blessed by him, and the disciples telling the parents to get the little kids away from Jesus because they have important things to do. And Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." So we turn in our text today, and what do we see? The disciples are all concerned about what it takes to achieve greatness. And they want to know who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus shows them. He calls forth a child and put him in the middle of them. Now, the word for child in Greek, paidon, can be a toddler up to almost a teenager. And he says, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children," we're assuming that this was not a teenager, it's most likely a small child, "you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." And there is not greatness outside of the kingdom of heaven. And this little phrase, "unless you turn and become like children," it's a prime example of God's wisdom having the New Testament written in Greek and not the sloppy language of English, because this is a passive verb. So this is not something that you do. This is something that is acted upon you. Unless you are turned and become like children, this is not you making yourself to be like a little child. This is God, the Holy Spirit, doing his work in you so that you now see yourself as being like a little child. And the same is true of the next thing Jesus says. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus speaks of you being humbled like a child, he's not telling you that, well, now your job is to go out and be humble. You go out and be this sweet little nice person who never does anything wrong. Well, we are not saved by our works. It's not by what we do that makes us worthy of the kingdom of heaven. And also, we can't look at this with our 21st century, viewpoint, because the image of the sweet little pure innocent child is really a questionable image that is put forth in modern society. After all, they are sinners just as much as any adult. I have not found yet any child that is completely sweet, pure, and innocent and not in need of baptism and the continual act of repentance and forgiveness. In our culture, though, for whatever reason, starting a little over 100 years ago, and you can research this, I encourage you to do so, our society, our culture, in the latter part of the 1800s, started placing children on this pedestal of innocence. The concept of the innocent child came forth. Parents in the ancient world, they certainly loved their children, but they did not view them in the same way that we do. Even the word for child, paidon here, had a very different understanding. It just means helpless one. The word can even be used for an adult who is handicapped to where they are unable to feed or clothe or take care of themselves. A child is someone who is helpless, who needs adult supervision, care, protection in order to survive. That is their view of what a child is. When Jesus says we are to be humbled like a child, this is not to be meek and gentle and innocent with big eyes that tear up and melt the hearts of everyone around us. Jesus says we need to be turned, be converted, be changed to someone who believes that you are completely helpless, that you can do nothing to save yourself or make yourself great. And you don't aid in this process. You are God's child. But remember, though, that you are like his very young children. It is wrong to imagine, and as adults, I know that I'm guilty of this too. We sometimes want to think that our relationship with our Heavenly Father is like to the relationship we had with our earthly father in our adult years. As I've said before, I respect my earthly father. I'll listen to his advice. I will even follow his advice if I want to. But I don't need his help to survive anymore. I'm happy to have him around when he's around, but I don't need him around every day. To treat God this way is a grave mistake that is made far too often. You and I are like small children to him. Without his continual presence, we would not survive. And we don't really help him in this, in keeping us alive, spiritually or physically. It's sort of like when the two-year-old helps you clean the house. That's the kind of help we give to God. It just ends up really creating more work than what anything we do. Jesus is telling his disciples, in all things, you are entirely reliant on God. So why are you arguing about who is the greatest? If you want to have a godly argument, argue about who is the weakest. However, if you win that argument, if you take any pride in winning that argument, well, then you lost once again. It's a completely different way of thinking. Yet this is exactly how God would have us approach him and one another. Jesus doesn't give his disciples a bunch of rules to follow so that we will change our outward behavior and act like good Christians should act and appear to, you know, be the good Christians that he expects us to be. That's not what he does. He challenges them, and he challenges you to be turned, to think differently than you did before. Not simply to act differently, but to think differently. You are not the same person you were before you heard the gospel. If there has been no change, if you do not think differently, you have not heard the gospel. Jesus says, understand that you are like children. You have no strength or ability to save your own life. All that we can do is repent, forgive one another, and receive the kingdom of God like a little child. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.